Welcome to the Burn Your Mortgage Podcast, a Canadian real estate podcast that shows you how to pay off your mortgage sooner and live well while doing it. Now, here's your host, Sean Cooper.
Welcome to the Burn Your Mortgage Podcast. I'm Sean Cooper, and it's great to be back for another episode. On today's show, I'll be talking to Alex Corbin. Alex is a CPA, CA, and Chief Product Officer at Arborough. Arborough is a private Toronto-based company dedicated to providing access to home ownership through co-ownership. Arborough co-invests up to $250,000 towards a buyer's down payment, purchasing a share in the future value of the home. Once they are in the home, additional programs such as maintenance checkups and renovation credits are available to co-owners to help preserve and increase the home's value. In my interview with Alex, we discuss barriers to home ownership, shared equity to break into the market, and co-owning the home with an investor. Without further ado, here's my interview with Alex. Hi, Alex. How are you doing today?
Great, Sean. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have you as well. I think you're the first guest I've had that's been camped out in the closet when doing a podcast, but definitely appreciate your commitment to getting the best high quality audio recording possible.
I do what I can. This is only because I've misplaced my AirPods, you know, which we've gone through that. So hopefully we'll get some, no other distractions.
All right. Sounds good to me. So yes, we definitely have an interesting discussion here on a topic that we haven't really covered at any great depth in the podcast on shared equity mortgages. But before we talk about that, why don't we talk about some barriers to home ownership? I mean, I bought my house back in 2012, and my gosh, I can't believe it's almost been 12 years now. But yeah, definitely the lay of the land has changed quite a bit since then. Affordability is, of course, a major concern with a lot of people. But yeah, why don't you talk a bit about some of the concerns that you're hearing from average Canadians today, some of the things that are stopping them from getting into a home when they would like to buy a home sooner, perhaps.
Definitely. I think anybody who's in the trenches right now trying to go from renting to owning doesn't need to hear it from me. They're living it. They know exactly what the struggles are. I think for you, having bought a home in 2012, right now, you must have feel like you got it for a steal compared to where property prices are now. And that's sort of exactly what's been happening. There's this growing divergence between income and real estate prices. And that is making it incredibly difficult for those who don't have access to, say, intergenerational wealth to break in the market. We know that 30% of Canadian home buyers are getting money from the bank of mom and dad to break in the market. And for those who don't have access to the bank of mom and dad, you're like, how are they getting into the market? Well, recent survey stats will tell you that it takes an average family making close to $260,000 a year, 26 years to save enough for a down payment to buy an average home in Toronto, which is just mind-blowing. And so that down payment gap is one of the biggest barriers towards breaking into the market, because for any properties over $1 million, you need a 20% down. So that's a $200,000, or close to a quarter million, actually, if you factor in closing costs, worth of cash that you need to have on hand. That's one of the key barriers. And obviously, with interest rates increasing, mortgage affordability has also become an issue. There's definitely an erosion in terms of the amount of debt that buyers are able to qualify for now. And that's a more recent phenomenon, and obviously a more transient one as well, too, as we do expect interest rates to stabilize. So the rising property prices in disproportion to income, I would have to say, is the biggest barriers for homeowners today.
Yes, certainly. I bought my house back in 2012 and I bought it for $425,000. And yeah, it's going for over $1 million now. So definitely, I feel the pain of people there. I mean, certainly, yeah, it is challenging to get into a property these days. I think what most people are doing is their starter properties like condos, just to kind of get their foot in the door and looking to buy outside of their desired neighborhoods. Like if you're buying in the GTA, for example, going all the way to like Newmarket or an area like that, or Oshawa, when you might prefer to be in the downtown. People are definitely getting creative, but even then, the properties, if you're looking for a attached home for under $1 million, it's still challenging in some of these neighborhoods here. So yeah, I definitely feel the pain of homeowners out there. So certainly having a plan and actually being able to save that down payment is critical, whether it's staying at home longer with parents or taking in roommates. Because yeah, if you're just living on your own and spending a few thousand dollars a month on rent, it's definitely challenging to actually be able to save that sort of money there. So yeah, thanks for your insight on that, Alex. So I understand a way that like a challenge for a lot of Canadians is actually coming up with the down payment. And there's interesting programs out there. The government had a program for several years that just winded up here called the First Time Home Buyer Incentive. But that essentially what that is a shared equity mortgage ownership type structure. So yeah, if you could talk a bit about that there in general. And yeah, even though the government's winding it up, there still are options out there. So for anyone not familiar with that, if you could talk a bit about that structure there and a bit about the government program that was and how there are other programs out there and how they might be different than what the government was offering.
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, to your point around the barriers that are getting in people's way to home ownership, people are getting creative. You know, some of them, yes, there is the despair of feeling like you just can't break out of that cycle of renting and also trying to save for a down payment. But out of that has come some really innovative solutions. Home buyers are looking at models ranging from like co-ownership, like actually co-buying property with friends or family and living in shared spaces with friends or family. Or there's other models like rent-to-own models where you can actually incorporate saving for a down payment into your monthly lease payments. And then there are these government programs. I hope anybody listening to your podcast has taken advantage of the first-time homebuyer savings program, you know, the mirror to the TFSA program, and also are, you know, looking to access their RRSPs. There's a number of government programs. And the CMHC program that you mentioned has definitely been quite talked about, mostly because it was the government's attempt to bridge specifically that down payment gap. So it's a shared equity mortgage program. It functions like almost like a second loan, I have to say. So the government of Canada will contribute towards your down payment. And then in exchange, they get a share of the future appreciation. So it's not necessarily added to your mortgage, but you are required to repay the amount that the government has given you for the down payment when you sell your home or if you refinance your home. There is a ceiling. If your property has appreciated significantly, you may not, there be a scenario where you're capped at how much of that profit that you do have to share with the government of Canada. But on the downside, if the property depreciates in value, you are still obligated to return a considerable portion of that upfront capital. So that's why it is more like a loan, because there is that guaranteed repayment element for that program. So, you know, unfortunately, sadly, that program is being discontinued. Feedback that we have gotten is that it has, you know, it can be useful for those looking to purchase homes in rural areas or places outside of urban centers, because the program requirements itself were relatively restrictive in terms of the income requirements. There's a cap on the income, and there's also caps on the purchase price of the home, which again is very valid and it could have been very attractive for those who are looking to purchase, you know, in rural areas where the average property prices are lower. Yeah, those are some of the programs. And then, you know, I'm here today to talk about the shared equity piece. So Arborough is a shared equity investment provider. Our model is very similar to the CMHC program, except we are emphatic about shared equity being a true equity and in no way resembling a debt. What we mean by that is the shared equity investment provider, so Arborough, has to have equal rights and like equal risks and rewards in this relationship. So Arborough will contribute towards a down payment. We don't have income caps. We do have some eligibility criteria, which we can get into, but essentially, so long as you're looking for a property in our investment regions, Arborough can contribute up to 15% of your down payment or $250,000 towards your down payment. And depending on how we split that initial down payment, like say you and I went halvesies on the down payment, then Arborough will have a 50% share of the future profit in your home. And this has been a model that has been very popular in the US and even the UK, but Arborough has been the first to bring it to Canada and to be able to operate it at scale. It's definitely gaining a lot of popularity for first-time homebuyers looking for a way to break into the market when they don't have access to that generational wealth. You know, they don't have access to that $150,000 gift from mom and dad or from a family member to use for that down payment.
No, thanks for your insight on that, Alex. And what I'm hearing is that some of the key differences are that you're able to get a larger amount from our borough compared to like the incentive, because yeah, there was a limit to how much money you could receive from the incentive. And it sounds like it's more flexible and could work in higher priced markets like Toronto and Ottawa. Am I hearing that correctly?
That's right, in urban centers. Yeah. So thanks for the tee up. So Arborough, we're currently, our investment regions is the Greater Toronto Area, as well as some other regions in Southwestern Ontario, like Kitchener-Waterloo, Hamilton, Guelph, and London. And we also now just recently expanded our investment regions to Ottawa. So some of the major urban centers where, you know, we do feel housing affordability is quite a significant issue, but also in markets where we feel like there's a lot of potential upside. We know that residential real estate has been one of the most stable forms of generational wealth creation. So, I mean, you said it yourself earlier, you bought a property just over 12 years ago, and that's almost like tripled in value. And so that's an important tool. That's an important investment vehicle that more and more people should be able to have access to.
Oh, great. Sounds good to me. And I'm glad that there's still an option out there after the incentive program was retired there by the government of Canada. So that's great to hear. And maybe you can just talk about, you touched on this a bit here, but you mentioned just about qualification from the program offered by Arborough. I mean, I don't want to for people with a ton of details, but what are some kind of high level things people should be aware of? Like, who do you think would be a good fit for this program? It sounds like somebody that is struggling to come up with a down payment, especially for that like minimum 20% down over $1 million, that can be challenging there. Like, yeah, from an income down payment credit perspective, like who would you say would be the ideal fit for a program like this?
Yeah, so in terms of our eligibility criteria, it's quite broad. You need to be a Canadian citizen or permanent resident purchasing a primary residence in one of our investment regions. And we emphasize the principal residence piece because, I mean, our company comes from, we operate with, you know, quite a significant impact mandate in terms of trying to help people break into the housing market. And so, yeah, our model is not yet for those who are looking to be landlords and to purchase that investment property for rentals. We want to help families own the homes that they're going to be living in. So, you know, if there's a rental suite or something like a basement, that's completely fine that you want to rent out. You can do that with the properties you co-own with us, but it does have to be your principal residence. From an income perspective, that's up to, you know, our lenders and our mortgage brokers. When you work with Arborough, you'll get connected with a mortgage broker or with one of our lending partners, and that'll help determine whether your income is enough to qualify for the property that you're looking to purchase. The main financial requirement for us is that buyers need to have a minimum of 5% saved. So that's their contribution towards the down payment. And that's in addition to extra savings that they'll need to have for closing costs. And then other, in terms of not so much an eligibility criteria, but more like a good to know, is that our program is really best suited for those who are looking for their starter home, not those who are, you know, have found their forever home and this is it. This is the property that they see passing down to their children. And the reason for that is because Arborough's co-ownership model, you can co-own with us for up to 30 years. So there is a ton of flexibility. At any point during the 30 years, you are completely free to sell the property whenever you want, regardless if markets are up or down. And so Arborough, if markets are down and you need to sell, Arborough will take that loss alongside you. That is a key distinction of our value proposition. And then also anytime during the 30 years, you can offer to buy out Arborough share. But the reason one of our screening questions is, you know, how long are you planning to live in the home, is because we know that, you know, beyond say like the 10 years or so, it could become really expensive to buy out Arborough share. Or if you're truly living in a property for 30 years and you're selling at the end of our term, there's a lot of appreciation there that you're going to be splitting with Arborough. So it really is in your best interest. If you know you want to stay in the home for a long time, you really want to have an exit plan in place in terms of how you're going to buy out Arborough. Otherwise, we say to our buyers, like, listen, the statistics are pretty clear. 97% of first-time home buyers are selling their properties before 10 years. In fact, like between 5 and 7 years, a vast, vast majority of people are moving into their next home. So even just the nature of how life changes, more likely than not, you will be looking for your next property. But those are, you know, there's the eligibility criteria, and then there's just some of the guidelines that we give our buyers as well, too, for those, you know, exploring shared equity as an option.
Great. Thanks for the interesting insight into that, Alex. And yes, another topic that you suggested here that it would be interesting to discuss is the option of Yeah, like the challenge for people these days getting into a home is first from the income qualifying perspective, but also like for the down payment perspective as well. It sounds like Arbor helps with the second one, the down payment perspective. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on the income perspective here. So maybe you can talk about the whole trend of co-owning the home with someone else, such as a investor, and how that's able to help people get into home ownership sooner. Because yeah, certainly with the mortgage rates going up, it has eroded affordability. I mean, the good news is that rates are starting to head downward, but yeah, we're not at the level of pandemic level mortgage rates, and I'm not sure we'll ever get there again. So yeah, how can the whole co-owning the home with somebody like an investor help you get your foot in the door of the real estate market sooner?
Yeah, for sure. And I think like co-ownership as a concept is nothing new. People have been co-owning with friends and family and sharing spaces for as long as people have been buying real estate. But it's just the concept of co-owning with kind of like that silent investor with an entity that doesn't live in your property. And so, you know, when we're tongue in cheek about it, we're like, okay, Arbro, we're professional co-owners, right? We're here to professionalize this concept of co-ownership. And that can be quite a concept for people to wrap their heads around because a lot of the skepticism that we get are from those who are like, wait, what? You're giving me $250,000 and there's no interest. I don't make monthly payments. I don't pay this back. It's like, no, you don't. It's an investment. We get a return on our investment when you sell your home for more than we paid for it. And if the price of the investment depreciates, then we take that risk. Like, that's the difference between making an equity investment versus a debt investment. If we were simply loaning you money, yes, we get interest payments, we get monthly payments, and our principal is guaranteed. But that's not our model. And we don't think Canadians need to be taking on more debt just to be getting into their homes. So to your point around mortgage affordability, there our value proposition is actually quite different for those who are looking to purchase a property below a million versus those who are purchasing above. The argument for those purchasing above is quite straightforward. You have to have 20% down to buy a property over $1 million, and it's just black and white. If you don't have 200 but plus saved, you cannot buy this property. For people looking to buy below, so below $1 million, that, you know, you could potentially purchase a property with as little as 5% saved. You can have a mortgage for 95% of the value of your home. But what's happening as mortgage interest rates increase is that people are not qualifying enough to get 95%, like a mortgage that's equal to 95% of the value of the home. So they're coming to Arbro and to help bridge that gap. And that's actually a wonderful, quite an elegant solution because not only do we help you bridge that down payment gap, but we're significantly reducing the amount of debt you need to take on to purchase your property. Even if you had 5% save and you have a mortgage for the remaining 95%, there's still CMHC mortgage insurance on that. So anytime, as you may know, Sean, but you know, for your listeners, anytime you're putting less than 20% down in a down payment, you have to pay CMHC mortgage insurance. So with mortgage insurance combined, you could have like something like 97% of the value of your property could be debt, even though you have significant equity on day one. It's just the way the mortgage insurance works. So we help people significantly reduce the amount of debt. They no longer are required to have mortgage insurance on that mortgage, and it reduces their monthly payments on their mortgage. So it's been quite beneficial for those, even I'm shopping for properties below a million, where at one point maybe buying on their own was an option, but that option is no longer available based on mortgage qualifications.
No, definitely sounds like a great potential solution for the right type of person there. And yeah, I really like the benefit that you mentioned about the whole equity piece, because even if you can perhaps afford to qualify to buy on your own, like with the doesn't mean it works with everyone's budget, because when qualifying for a mortgage, the lenders don't take into account any other expenses you have. Like you might be caring for an elderly parent, or you might have like three or four kids. And the funny thing is, you can actually qualify to borrow more when it comes to mortgage lending if you're receiving like government benefits like the Canada Child Benefit. But here it doesn't take into account all the extra, I mean, children are nice and all that, but they come with a lot of expenses there. And
Not
yeah,
a net
like
gain on the revenue side with the kids.
exactly. So yeah, like this sounds like a useful program for somebody where yeah, they'd like to buy a home, but they're just going to be struggling with the carrying costs, because it's not just the mortgage payments, it's the property taxes, the utilities, and the repairs and maintenance can be a big one. So this definitely sounds like to make it more manageable for people from a cash flow perspective there, yeah, where they're kind of finding it tough to keep up, especially with the rising cost of living as well.
Yeah. It's really important math that people need to do. And it's not so much math, but they have to weigh their personal situation and their finance situation, you know, against the trade-offs of owning a home. And I think Arbro is not a silver bullet. Like, we're not saying that our product is for everybody. We're quite firm about our messaging, and that if you can afford, if it works for you, if you can make it so that you can buy this property 100% on your own, that is always still the better choice. You get 100% of the upside. You're not sharing any of those future profits. But when you don't have that choice, if it's either between renting indefinitely versus just having some equity, getting your foot in the door in the market, then co-ownership is always like 10 times out of 10 better than renting, because you get equity, your home is going to, you know, in the past 50 years, even through the financial crisis and even through the pandemic, residential real estate has increased at a stable rate. You know, like I mentioned, it's been one of the most reliable forms of long-term wealth creation. And so to have that exposure, and then when you do sell your home, those capital gains, those are tax-exempt capital gains on your principal residence, you don't have that rate of return putting your money in the stock market, at least not tax-free. So there's some important considerations. But yeah, on that debt versus equity piece, people have to think about it. You know, you get the benefit, like when working with Arbro, you are significantly reducing your monthly carrying costs on a mortgage, but you are giving up equity later on down the road. And that could be a wonderful solution for a lot. And for some people, they're saying, no, I'd rather like really penny pinch and put all my money towards my mortgage so I can own this property all on my own and then get 100% of the upside later. And that's a perfectly valid rationale and choice that people may want to make for themselves as well too, if they have that choice, right? If they are able to do that.
Well, it's great to hear that Arbro is still an option out there for people, that it makes sense. And I think you did a really great job of laying out the pros and the cons so that people can have a good understanding and to make sure if it's right or not for them there. So yeah, thanks so much for being on the podcast today, Alex. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's always great to be able to chat personal finance and mortgages and what's going on in this crazy market.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Burn Your Mortgage podcast. Besides being a podcast host, I'm also an independent mortgage broker. If you or anyone you know, family, friends, coworkers, or neighbors could ever use any unbiased mortgage advice or a second opinion, feel free to reach out. Email me at Sean, that's SEAN at burnyourmortgage.ca, or call or text me at 647-867-3711 for a free mortgage consultation. Also, be sure to head on over to www.burnyourmortgage.ca and sign up for my free weekly newsletter. As a small token of my appreciation, you'll be able to download my ultimate mortgage checklist on choosing the perfect mortgage. I look forward to hearing from you and helping you with all your mortgage needs. Once again, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Burn Your Mortgage podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and leave a rating. Until next time, happy mortgage burning!